This year, Dell Technologies' Back to School event is delivering impressive tech with an inspiring purpose. Learn how Dell is helping ComputerAid, whose work is helping equip solar community hubs with tech and AI literacy skills to empower remote, displaced, or disconnected communities around the world. Help Dell make a difference and shop AI-ready PCs powered by Snapdragon X Series processors at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. The Rich Eisen Show.
This is fun. Paris Bronze, hosted by Mike Del Tufo.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Do you know how to score fencing?
Yes, it's a strike to the chest.
With what?
Whatever they call it.
With the fence?
With the fence.
Earlier on the show, CBS Sports NFL analyst Jason McCourty. Coming up, ESPN staff writer Dan Murphy. Author TJ Newman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're gonna have a conversation shortly with Dan Murphy of ESPN and ESPN.com. He and Pete Thamel got a copy of a draft of what the NCAA is apparently going to give to Michigan about a notice of allegations from the sign-stealing scheme or the scouting scheme that Michigan was conducting with Connor Steins, where Connor Steins was conducting at Michigan, that got ripped out root and branch for them to go rip off a whole bunch of wins and win the national championship anyway, to leading the NCAA president, Charlie Baker, to say that Michigan was in the national championship game fair and square. So we'll see what this all means when he joins us shortly on the program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Hour one, great hour one. We had a lot of fun with Jason McCourty of CBS and also talking about Patrick Mahomes being the fourth overall NFL 100 listed player as voted on by his peers.
The fourth best player in the league, Rich.
That's right. And the first hour went off without a hitch, and it sounded great, which is amazing because there was live women's beach volleyball on TV.
He'll get handled when he gets handled.
You know, so Mike got through that first hour. You were focused.
Great job, Mike.
Canada. Really appreciate that.
Against the United States.
So, you know, my phone was blowing up yesterday. I was flying back from the Hall of Fame across the country and, you know, blowing up from my friends, Wolverine friends, like, what's up with this? Because we're getting ready for a 2024 season 2 weeks in. Texas, 2 weeks after that, USC. Got Oregon coming into the big house, a whole new Big Ten, and the NCAA hasn't turned the page from 2023. Mm-hmm. And to talk about that in a bylined piece with Pete Thamel, Dan Murphy of ESPN and ESPN.com joining us here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
Good, Rich. How are you?
I am well, sir. So I have lots of questions. I'll give you the floor. What is the document you and Pete Thamel got and wrote about?
So what we got over the weekend here was a draft of the notice of allegations, which, to make the legal analogy, it's kind of like seeing the indictment that they're about to turn over to say what the charges are. So this could change before they actually finalize what they're going to attempt to sanction Michigan with. And they still need to sort of have a bit of a negotiation to figure out what the punishments are going to be. But we did get a several new details about what the NCAA has found and what they're aiming to ding Michigan with here moving forward.
Okay, so what did you glean from this document, Dan?
So a couple things. One is that Connor, you know, they had a lot of details on what Connor Stallions was doing from 2021 to 2023 in order to steal, you know, grab signals of other people's sidelines and what his operation looked like. They did not find any Michigan coaches who knew about this or that they could prove that knew about this. And there were a handful of seven people total from the 2023 program who are subject to potential violations here. And most of the coaching staff that lands on that list is due to interfering or trying to get in the way of the NCAA's investigation, a failure to cooperate is the main charge. And to me, the one that stands out the most, and I think the only guy that's still left on Michigan staff moving forward, is head coach Sharon Moore, who could be potentially facing some sanctions for his involvement in deleting some text messages that he got from Connor Stallions on the same day when all this news was first breaking last October.
But those text messages, based on the reporting I saw, were retrieved and eventually handed over by Sharon Moore?
That's right. Yeah. So the NCAA has seen 50 some text messages after they did some searching of his phone. They were able to get him back. And, you know, you can look into that in a couple of different ways. The fact that the NCAA has seen these text messages and isn't charging him or isn't attempting to accuse him of any violation other than having deleted the text messages might lead you to believe that there probably wasn't anything too spicy or too damning in the actual messages once the NCAA got a chance to look at them.
So, okay, so what is in this document that actually puts out there what Connor Stallions did and how it did get to Michigan's sideline, Dan? Is there any, because that, to be honest with you, I'm trying to find actual concrete videos, emails, an actual through line from what Connor Stallions did. Gleaned what he got. Is there any information on what he got in this document, Dan?
They do say that they reviewed films, photographs. They had sort of a Google Drive folder full of information that Stallions was gathering that showed sort of his how he coordinated with all of these other folks that he was sending out to different stadiums and having them tape another team's sidelines. They found video of that. They found sheets of the signals that he was using. There's some notes in there about having evidence that when this was all kind of hitting the fan last October, that he sent a couple of these sheets to another intern's house to try to get them out of the building, that he took a hard drive that was in Michigan football's offices and removed that from the building and then has not turned that over to the NCAA or Michigan since then. So they were able to figure out using tracking some of the tickets he purchased through different aliases and some of the stuff he had in that Google Drive that he had scouted. I think it was 58 different off-campus scouting trips, which are against NCAA rules, over the course of 3 years, and several different teams, dozens of teams or so. Some of them as many as 5, 6, 7 times a year, he would go and send somebody to another team's game, one particular opponent's game, in order to try to crack their signals. That's the meat of what they've found with Stallions. A lot of it was sort of what he's taken away, and they were able to pin it down with ticket purchases and different photos and film.
So where are the photos in the films? Where are those?
Still under NCAA protection. So this is a draft of what would essentially be like a charging document, right? So this was pretty high level in terms of what they found. The actual evidence is not something that anyone has seen outside of the NCAA investigators themselves at this point.
Dan Murphy here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let me ask you this, because I'm not trying to out your sources, Dan. I really am not. How's that for walking in the front door here? But in Indianapolis right now, in the NCAA, are people trying to find out how you and Pete got this thing? Do you think?
I'm sure some people are. I think it's just one of those things. I don't want to get too far into how we source it.
Of course.
They're building their case slowly, and I think we'll have more concrete versions of this notice of allegations that are coming pretty soon, I would imagine, before the season gets started.
Do you think there are some people that are using you and Pete to build a case in front of people, who are getting ready for a college football season right now and have potentially turned the page on 2023, Dan?
I don't think so. I don't know that what we're going to publish is going to change what they're doing very much. And I don't really want to get too far into sourcing on that side.
I understand that. And that's why I think you're kind of, maybe picking up my drift here of this conversation, is that once this was ripped out root and branch, is there anything in this document about what was going on or anything going on after Connor Stallions left and had everything ripped out root and branch and Harbaugh was serving a suspension Anything from the point of, the Michigan State destruction on, Dan, from last year?
So the accusations against coaches and everyone other than Stallions in this is mostly about whether or not they cooperated with the NCAA's efforts to learn more about this. So it's not more about whether or not they were taking other signals and stealing them. Once Stallions left mid-October, there's no accusations that there was any other type of rule violations in terms of sportsmanship violations at that point. There are some other items in there that aren't related to Stallions in terms of some more nitpicky recruiting type of things that some of the coaches got involved in. Buying guys meals, bringing guys on campus for workouts when they shouldn't have, sort of contacting guys when they were too young. I think the most sort of serious allegation was against a coach named Chris Partridge, who's no longer with the program, who was accused of sort of pressuring players to lie to or mislead NCAA investigators about the Stallions case to make sure that they protected the coaching staff.
Interesting. And so in terms of Stallions on the sideline in a getup, like that's also in this document.
Yeah, Dan? The NCAA did confirm that they were able to determine that it was Connor Stallions who was on Central Michigan's sideline. Central Michigan played Michigan State in the first weekend of the season last year. Stallions was there wearing Central Michigan gear and had a bench pass from the Central Michigan athletic department. They didn't say how he got that pass or if they know how he got that pass, but they did confirm that it was him on that sideline. He was there along with someone else who was in the stands videotaping Michigan State sideline during that game.
That's just so absurd. Positively absurd. So where do things stand right now, Dan?
So, yeah, we're still waiting for the final version of the notice of allegations.
which could be different than what you got a copy of.
Correct. Yeah, there could be. I wouldn't expect it would change materially, right, but it could be tweaked.
How about this? Let me ask you this question. What, in your experience, potentially could cause this to be made different by the time it's official, Dan?
I don't know that there will be any really significant changes.
Okay.
There might be tweaking language or people going back and forth about exactly what they want to say in there. But after that, I think there will be some sort of negotiation between Michigan and the NCAA to try to arrive at a set of penalties that everybody can agree on.
Okay. And where is Connor Stallions now, Dan? Where is he?
I think he's waiting for his Netflix debut.
That's happening in November.
I think even sooner than that. I think late August is when the show is supposed to be on.
What are you hearing about that show? I mean, like, are the NCAA investigators going to be, zipping past Ripley to get to this documentary and just with their pens out and their papers? Like, Dan, is that?
I don't know. It's in a series of documentaries that the main subjects have had a bit of control over what's going to be said in them. So we'll see what Stallions says. I'm sure people who watch, I don't believe that Stallions has cooperated with the NCAA at all at this point, from what we know. Remains to be seen what he may say or how he might frame things, but it looks like he'll be a part of that, I think, in late August.
And if I'm not mistaken, in the beginning of this conversation, you said that this document, Dan, is going to be the basis of a negotiation with Michigan in terms of penalties. What did you mean by that? That this will just be pled out as opposed to be fought against by Michigan, Dan?
I don't know for sure. I just know typically after the NCAA provides a notice of allegations, and in a lot of these cases, they will go back and forth with the school to try to say, here's what we found. Here's what we think is appropriate. Let's talk it through. And if Michigan wants to push back against any of that, they can. And the NCAA will then, the analogy is kind of like a pretrial conference where you might reach a settlement in a criminal case instead of going to a jury trial. And the NCAA typically goes through that process with schools when they're doing something along these lines. So I don't know for sure that will happen, but that's the next step in the process.
Okay. Do you want to offer an opinion as to what happened? Now, I mean, you're there, facts on the ground. You're seeing this document. You might have one. I don't know if you care to offer one because that strays from the lane potentially. But I'll give you that opportunity to offer what you think happened, Dan.
No, I mean, yeah, as you said, I'm not really in the business of having an opinion on this stuff, but you know, I think it seems that they've gathered enough evidence to show that Connor Stallions was videotaping these teams against the NCAA rules, and so far they haven't shown that any of Michigan coaches beyond Stallions and a couple interns and one full-time staff member who was unnamed, no one else has been accused of knowing how Stallions was acquiring all these signals.
What about your opinion of the effectiveness of it, Dan? Do you have anything on that front based on what you're seeing or gleaning?
I'm not a football coach. I never played D1 football. I wouldn't venture to say how much that may or may not have helped them.
When does this become official, do you think, this document?
It's a good question. I would imagine before the football season that they'll have an official notice of allegations. I don't know whether or not the full process will be concluded before the football season starts.
And there's like level one, right? Level two type of, I guess, violations. If you wouldn't mind explaining to my audience what that means. And I read in your document it's level two for Coach Moore right now. And what would that mean, Dan?
Yeah, so that's right. So there's NCAA has different tiers of what they consider the most serious violations. Level one is the most serious and typically lands on people that have shown a sort of blatant disregard for the rules or a repeat offender of rules. Right now, Sharon Moore, from what we have been able to gather, is accused of a level two violation, which is less serious and less likely to result in major penalties. But on his list, I think, is potential for a show clause or a suspension is what the document tells us.
So you're saying his first season as head coach of Michigan might include a similar sit down of what Harbaugh had? Is that what you're saying? Or
yeah, it's on the table. I don't know that it will actually get there or not, but that's what's on the table.
Dan Murphy, I appreciate the time. Greatly appreciate you laying out some facts and what's going on for my audience.
Thanks,
appreciate
Rich.
It. That's Dan Murphy, ESPN investigative reporter right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. Chris, what'd you take from that? Seriously. What'd you take from it?
Seems fishy, the deleting of the texts. And I'm just curious to read the full report because it just sounds like there was stuff going on. And I think that's pretty obvious, but who knew what and when and how much? Maybe we'll never know.
Right.
But Harbaugh, I think, was a level one at it. We didn't get to that part, but there was some stuff going on.
Level one for not cooperating.
For cooperating.
Well, I mean, you know that goes also. That also includes the hamburger stuff from COVID.
That's his MO.
TJ,
yeah,
so. Look, man,
what'd you take?
You know, Chris and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, and Chris kind of caught me. He was like, "Yeah, but you shouldn't do these things." My whole thing is, if you're throwing out signs, someone is eventually going to pick up on your signs, right? So I guess this question is just like how far up the chain of command it went that the guys who really run the program know.
Right.
I have to read this. I didn't read the story yet.
Well,
so I think, Chris, you said this last year. The bottom line is I think everybody in one way or another is probably doing this exact same thing.
So, I don't know about the exact same thing where there's somebody that's
on. Very elaborate, yeah.
Yeah, not the exact same.
You know, just finding random people, you know. Again, I want to hear.
Buying tickets and going to road games.
And where
do
you find the people? Where do you find the people?
Yeah.
And how did he know how good they were at shooting, you know, video? How did he let them know who to shoot? How did he know? How did you let him know what he was looking for? How is this communicated to these people?
I'm really interested to see the Netflix thing that's coming out because, as Dan kind of mentioned,
be careful. Because didn't you watch that whole thing with the Florida documentary?
I was going to get to that. Yeah,
that's true.
Because some of the other docs in this whole series have been really skewed and left out a lot of facts. Like the Florida one didn't mention any of the bad stuff, mm-hmm. And the Johnny Manziel one was very pro Johnny, which was like, I mean, come on, we all know what went on. So I'm really curious to see what's in this and what's said and the level of participation by several individuals key to the story.
You know, here's my couple cents on this thing here. All right. I wish Connor Stallions never, I wish he rooted for another team. You know what I mean? I wish, do you or don't you? I wish I had never heard his name. I wish he had never been around the Michigan program. We didn't need him. I didn't want them. I don't need any of this stuff. I don't want any of this stuff. The fact that he's roaming around looking like an ejected Bobby Valentine on the sidelines of Central Michigan is an embarrassment.
It's insane.
It's a complete embarrassment. An embarrassment. And he thinks, like, I'm doing this to help Michigan. Like, let me put on a hat and a beard and show up, you know, on the sideline of Central Michigan and start personally scouting Michigan State. Don't want it. Don't need it. Never wanted it. Ever.
So you think he acted alone on this?
Like
he
say it again?
So Mike,
I'm not saying, I don't even know if he acted. And that's what I want to know. I want to know. I want to see the footage. Because everybody assumes every piece of footage that Connor Stallions received was a pristine copy of exactly what he was looking for.
True.
Like every single time you hand a phone to somebody on vacation saying, would you like to take a, can you take a picture of me with my family? Oh, it's a perfect picture. You don't see 90% of the sky.
I imagine a lot of
somebody's not cut out.
That's a you know what I mean? Like, I give someone the phone,
I want to see it.
Yeah.
I want to see it. And all of those text messages that were erased, were they just like, hey man, what's up? And they were just erased because I don't want anything to do with Connor Stallions. I honestly, everything sounds like it's the worst case scenario. And obviously, I'm coming at it from a position of I want no problems. Yeah. But here's what I will say. Okay. One more time for everybody in the back. This thing was ripped out root and branch. And the free world was given a heads up that something was up. And Michigan won every game. Every one of them. Every last one of them. Hashtag bet. All of it. Nick Saban was given a month and he hired a former Michigan assistant. Michigan won that one. The president of the NCAA, as Paul Feinbaum, who, as you know, is not a wallflower on this subject matter, said today on ESPN, pointing out, he said Michigan had won it fair and square. So that's the thing that, you know, obviously I'm hearing. I got heckled at the podium in Ohio on Friday night. I'll tell this story a little bit more later on in hour number three. People screaming cheater at me. Cheater. And it's just like, hey, the cheating was so perfect that Ohio State led in two of the three games that Michigan was eventually beating them in. Led. So trust me, I wanted to be in a rocking chair much sooner than I was in those games, but didn't. The famous photograph or video of them pointing in the sky in the background of CJ Stroud about to take a snap. They scored on that drive. Okay? So all of this stuff, the accomplishments, you want to put asterisks on whatever you want to do. All I know is there's a trophy in a case, and a trophy in a case came after this was ripped out root and branch. And even Feinbaum is saying nobody in college football, as we're getting ready for this highly anticipated season with 12 teams, is thinking about this. But they have to do their jobs. And if I'm Michigan, I am basically telling them, you pound sand for as long as possible, all the way until they are officially irrelevant, which they are becoming in the college football world.
But if they're becoming irrelevant, what does it matter what the president says?
Because he was as relevant at the time as possible, and he represents the people who are looking at it.
But no one respects the NCAA. So
okay, so then why would you even pay attention to their draft that leaked out? It leaked out. How'd they get it?
Because it's obvious to everyone else that something fishy was going on.
So they're leaking it out. Listen, Chris, I'm not sitting here saying that nothing was happening. I'm just wondering about just how effective really was it. I want to see it. I want to see the videos.
If you know the signs, then yeah, it's pretty effective.
To the point where what?
But
they were losing games? You're just trying to make it look good?
The leaked videos that we saw, he's on the sideline making motions, and then everybody moves, and then the play gets stopped.
And then
I know they're hand-picked and choose, but that's not nothing.
They scored on the drive.
That's not nothing.
The one that made the most news as it happened, Ohio State scored. They gave it points.
For your sake, I hope nothing happens.
No, no asterisks.
For my sake, nothing gets taken away, but it's super fishy.
How could they take away a championship that was
Rich,
won?
They take away banners all the time.
And then they restore them.
They take away Heisman trophies.
And then restore them.
Like, years later. It takes a long time.
But the NCAA had nothing to do with the Heisman, which is what people get wrong.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, though, things get taken.
I'm just saying. I'm so over this story.
I know.
Because of... You know, the attitude of Michigan people. It's not fun.
What's the attitude?
It's not fun.
What's my attitude? No, seriously, my attitude is, if something was wrong.
It's just not fun, and I'm so sick of it, and I hate that it keeps coming up all the time.
Well, it's going to come up again.
Well, let's just move on. It's over.
What about it should be fun, though, when you say it's not fun?
No.
It's not fun to just talk college football and stuff because it always gets brought up.
I was going about my merry business until a notice of allegations got leaked in advance of it coming out. So then the NCAA is not going anywhere. They're going to keep on, you know, digging and digging and digging.
But they're soon to be irrelevant, like you said.
But they're going to keep digging and digging and digging and digging. And all I'm saying is that I'll just repeat it again. If something happened, then they should be punished for it.
I don't think there's an if, though. Okay. Something did happen.
So then we will find out what it is. But the bottom line is it didn't affect a win or a loss when it came. We need to know how it affected wins or losses while it was happening.
Yeah. Right.
And then after it got ripped out root and branch, they won a championship. They won it all. They retired Nick Saban, for crying out loud, in the Rose Bowl and then beat Washington and beat Ohio State. True. And didn't get trapped by Michigan and ran it 30-something straight times against Penn State with an interim coach that didn't learn that he was going to be the coach until game day. And then it got ripped out. That was after Jim got suspended. It got ripped out root and branch before the Michigan State game. They pounded them. But this guy, I wish I'd never heard of him. What is he doing with that getup on the sideline of Central Michigan thinking it was a good idea? But that's a mastermind. That's a mastermind, that guy.
I mean, he is and he isn't. Like, you're smart enough to pull some of this off, and you're dumb enough to get caught.
Yeah, right? You know? That's exactly it.
He showed up on the sideline looking like Bobby Valentine just got ejected.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Overreaction Monday coming up, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What is it like where you're back there? You know you're going to get it.
Yeah.
The 8 in the box or 9 in the box that you see knows you're going to get it.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to give it to them.
Yeah.
And they know you're going to give it to them. What is that like for you?
I just love the game. I love having the ball in my hands, and I love making plays. And I don't know. It's just the game, man. Like, that feeling when everybody knows and they can't stop it, it's an indescribable feeling, man. And that's just speaking for, like, us as a team. And, you know, that just I just love the game.
Yeah, I know you're smiling. You're just smiling as you're saying this. It is just, it must be an amazing feeling.
A lot of fun.
To have that ability. Derrick Henry here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you hear what Earl Thomas said before the divisional playoff game in Baltimore, saying that the Patriots didn't want to tackle you, but they were going to have a different
approach?
Oh, yeah,
I've seen it everywhere. Everybody was sending it to me. Everybody was showing it to me. Yeah, I've seen it everywhere.
Okay, so now later on, you're in Baltimore. You get the ball. You're on the edge. Did you know that was Earl Thomas that was coming for you?
Definitely knew that was Earl Thomas.
Did you give him a second shove because it was Earl Thomas?
Yes.
I was wondering. Because you gave him one in the front, and you gave him one slightly unnecessary one in the back.
But what's so funny about that is I was so focused on giving him another shove that I ran myself out of bounds. So I remember the first time he kind of turned around, and I could have turned upfield, but I was so focused on this, like, giving him a shove that I ran myself out of bounds. But I definitely did that because of that.
So then the last question is, was it worth it to run yourself out of bounds?
I think it was, yeah.
Love it. Love Derrick Henry, as you know. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. It's an Overreaction Monday, everybody. So let's get right to it in a segment called Wait For It, Overreaction Monday.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Chris, before you get started, some Overreaction Monday news.
Oh.
You know this already, although you don't know the time of it.
I don't.
But Fanatics Fest, the great people of Fanatics, is having their first ever Fanatics Fest in the Javits Center in New York City. Mm-hmm. It is... Oh, darn it. It's August
17th,
4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Nice.
We will be conducting a live edition of Overreaction Monday. So be there, be square.
Boom.
At the Fanatics Fest.
Nice.
That's how we're rolling.
Yeah, very, very excited for this.
And that, by the way, will be the return of the weekly version.
Yes,
we're back in a weekly cadence.
We're back.
Kicking it off at Fanatics Fest in New York City.
Can't wait.
So there's that.
That's going to be very exciting. Oh, so I can book plane tickets now, right? Okay, got it.
Yes, you can.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Mike, it's always great to see you, man.
Good to see you.
I'm watching Steeplechase.
Hey, did you see the latest of Brandon Ayuk over the weekend, huh? Not looking good. Brandon Ayuk is not going to play a single down for the 49ers this year.
Why do you? You know what you sound like? You sound like parts of the political landscape rooting for a recession. You know what I mean?
I'm rooting for him to end up on a team that I root for. That's what's happening.
You know, he's not going to be a Patriot.
Why not?
Never.
Why not? What do you mean?
He wants to win a championship this year, if not next. Come on now.
Well, he could go to a team with a history.
He's
going to.
That's
recently,
a total overreaction. A complete and total overreaction.
It seems like things are not going well.
Le'Veon Bell will be the last guy to do what he did. Maybe ever. How's that? That's less of an overreaction than this.
I'm saying he can get traded this week. That's what I'm saying.
Ah. No, he's
not going to be. I'm not saying he's going to sit out.
There's not going to be a trade. Why
would
they
trade him? He's playing football this year, just not for them.
Why would they take?
Because he doesn't want to be there because they're not paying him what he's worth.
But he's under contract, and if he wants to play football this year and be paid for that right.
Rich, it's only a matter of
privilege.
Time before the NBA system of getting out of a situation that you do not want to be in bleeds into the NFL. We are so close.
I don't think this is going to be it. I push back. I say this is an overreaction. I would be, how about this? I would be surprised, not stunned, if Monday Night Football hits and Brandon Ayuk isn't suited up and ready to go for the 49ers.
Monday Night Football week one against
Correct.
The Jets.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. What else?
Okay. I'm looking at it. I'm getting ready for fantasy, TJ. You know, I'm super hyped about this coming football season and fantasy-wise. And one position in particular is so stacked that I think a tight end is going to lead the NFL in touchdown catches this year.
That's an interesting one. You think so, huh?
I'm looking at Dalton Kincaid in Buffalo, Trey McBride in Arizona, obviously Travis Kelce. Sam LaPorta coming off of his
TJ Hockenson,
last
if he's healthy,
year.
Kittle.
Hockenson coming back healthy.
Yeah.
When Brandon Ayuk gets traded, George Kittle is going to be the number one guy in San Francisco.
That guy.
Tight end is so stacked, it's not even funny.
You want to call your shot and which one it's going to be? Because I'll buy it. I'll buy it. I'll buy it.
Might be Travis Kelce.
I think so.
Might be a guy that wears 87. How about that?
I'll say this is not an overreaction. I don't think that's out of the realm. I still think it won't happen, but I'm not going to sit here and say you're out of your mind for saying it. You know,
may I interject? I think he's out of his mind for saying
So what do you think, CD or Justin Jefferson?
What are these wide receivers, man? CD, Jefferson, Puka, the number one player in the NFL as voted on by the players of the NFL.
By the way, let's light a candle for Puka's knee that's apparently week to week, but not serious.
You know, Cooper Kupp could be back. Like, I mean, tight end, there's a lot of
I know. You've got a deeper end of a wide receiver pool, and they're the ones who can take the top of a defense off as opposed to be a red zone threat or somehow, some way, thread a needle from the 30-yard line in.
Plus, they're the ones who are going to complain more than the tight ends when they don't get the ball, too.
I'm not going to sit here and say that that after all of the speed burners being added to the Chiefs, offense that Kelce can't still lead the league in touchdowns.
Look, so, I'm not saying you're wrong, Chris, because you're probably right. Jake Ferguson probably will.
Jake Ferguson, that's what I'm saying. So, okay.
I think about it.
Yeah. By the way, Brock Bowers been in added this mix
Bowers.
Now.
Right. By the way, last year it was 13. Not a lot. Not out. An to outrageous league, number. Led the league. Mike Evans and Tyreek Hill had 13. Dalton Sam LaPorta was only a couple back at 10.
What else?
Okay. Rich, we hit it on the top of the show, and I got to hit it again. The players got it so insanely wrong in the NFL Top 100. Just looking at the Top 10 list was not even close to what we had talked about on Friday.
And again, because I did the list and we discussed
McCaffrey
it.
McCaffrey was three?
But we did this.
Was anyone watching games?
Chris, we did this based on the playoffs as well. And again, the way I've had it described to me is the ballots are handed to the players in November and then pushed upon them or it's asked of them with consideration in December before they depart. Most of the league departs for the offseason. And so most of the votes happened in November and December. But that said, I still think this is not an overreaction. I don't know. I mean, I'd love to compare my list here. I had Hill 10, by the way. Yeah. I had him 10.
I thought that was pretty fair, too.
Well, because he didn't have he got a hip drop tackled in the Monday Night Football game in December. It wasn't the same after that. And then, you know, obviously disappeared in the playoffs because it was -20. But Crosby 10, Kelce 9, TJ Watt 8. So I guess JJ's got a lot of texts to some friends of his. Trent Williams 7, Chris Jones 6. I had him as the highest defender. Garrett 5, Mahomes 4, McCaffrey 3, Lamar 2, and then Tyreek 1.
Even to your point that a lot of this voting was done in November, McCaffrey was on a touchdown streak. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, week 17, the one that was, you know, that crushed a lot of people because it was the fantasy finals. I'm one of them. He got hurt in that game in Washington where I thought he was just going to dominate and lead me to a championship or at least dig me out of the hole that David Njoku and CeeDee Lamb had already placed me in before there was even a down plate on a Sunday. Everybody remembers this fantasy finals from last year, I'm sure. But I'm with you, Chris. What else you got?
Well, Chris, just one last thing there, though. If we're looking just statistically, right? I know Mahomes is the best player, but he finished the second fewest touchdowns he's ever had and the most picks. So
and
I'm
last
not
year,
saying he shouldn't be one, but it was probably not his best season.
To your point, when most of the votes were compiled by his peers, this was at the very height of the Chiefs are not going to be able to flip a switch and they're very vulnerable and let's take them out. I mean, Christmas Day, they lost at home to the Raiders. They couldn't stop Zamir White. They couldn't score and they had problems. What else, Chris?
All right. I'm thinking about this more and more and I think I'm coming around. Derrick Henry's going to lead the league in rushing yards. Like, I think it's almost inevitable.
I don't think that's an overreaction
either.
McCaffrey
led last year with a 1,400 and change. You tell me Derrick Henry can't get that this year behind that Ravens line?
Right. I just don't know if he's going to. How about this? I don't know if he's going to run it as much. Lamar's going to run it too a little bit. And Keaton Mitchell, let's hope, knock on wood, is going to come back at some point, right?
Even if he gets 80%, though. I mean, talk about thunder and lightning. He's still getting 6-7 yards down before he even gets touched.
I agree. Yeah, I can't wait to see what he does in Baltimore. I can't. You know him. You know where you had me at hello here.
I know.
You
know, and I'm not going to. I've just been thinking about it more.
I'm not
going
to sit here and say you're completely overreacting. It would be great, by the way, too, at age 30, for him to say to everybody that believes in this axiom and all the front offices around the National Football League, guess what? I'm a freak of nature,
right?
And you're not.
I know it's not a crazy limit. He was second last year, but he was 300 yards behind McCaffrey.
Well, McCaffrey was off.
McCaffrey was 1459, and you know Derek was 11.
I'm with you. I
know he was second, but still.
I'm with you. All right. I got you.
Couple more.
Yep.
We're in the age of offense, as we know, right, in the National Football League. Do you know what the record for total team points in a season is, Rich Eisen?
It's not the Vikings of the.
No, Peyton Manning's first year in Denver.
Okay. Really?
606.
Okay.
It's going down. Some team is going to score 600 plus, set the record, team points this season.
Which team? Give it to me.
Cowboys.
Please.
No, my first inclination was Miami.
Yeah. That would be mine too.
It was one of my first thoughts, but I don't see why. I mean, assuming he doesn't get traded to the Patriots, I don't know why the 49ers can't do it either.
I'll just push back and say, you know,
it's a lot. 600 is obviously.
Yeah,
obviously
I just
a
think
lot.
Of this day and age. Doesn't it usually take a couple weeks for offenses to start like clicking too these days, right? That defenses have the upper hand to begin a season. Mm-hmm. I'll call this an overreaction, so that won't happen.
I like to point out that when I just kind of jokingly said the Cowboys and you looked at me and said, please, you know who led the NFL in points last year, right?
Dude.
That was good.
I'm just saying. You kind of dismissed it.
I did dismiss it.
Really.
I did dismiss it because I don't know, man. I just don't believe in this all-in strategy. I don't believe it. And I think Chris's point is that he made last week is, yes, you can throw out 22 guys that win, you know, nominations for Pro Bowls and all pros. But what about the next 22? What if one of these guys goes down?
Yeah.
Which may happen. I hope it doesn't. NMU. You know I want Dallas in the playoffs.
NMU. Next.
I want Dallas in the playoffs. I mean, no question I want Dallas in a win-or-go-home game in January.
Good or bad, Dallas is good for business. All right, last one.
Mostly bad.
Last one. Basketball men's quarterfinals start tomorrow with every major U.S. star has won gold. Do you guys realize that? Simone's won gold. Katie Ledecky won gold. Noah Lyles won gold. Scottie Scheffler won gold yesterday.
Yeah.
If men's basketball doesn't win gold,
why do you go negative?
A black eye on their whole careers. They'll never live this down. I don't care how many championships, I don't care Hall of Fame, you didn't win gold in a year that every U.S. star won gold.
Come on.
This is the U.S. Olympics.
Okay. I choose to see a glass half full, and I definitely do not believe we will be talking years later when Durant and LeBron are in their dotage and their 50s and 60s.
We're still talking about the 2004 team that won bronze.
Okay, it'll be something. I just not a black eye on their careers.
Black eye on careers. Going to ruin guys.
Okay.
The great thing about this is they're not going to have to worry about it because they're winning gold.
By the way, the 2004 team, whatever teams that didn't win gold, all of them, did they have to play a Canadian team that was stacked? I mean, seriously. No. There's as many NBA stars on that Canadian team, almost. Come on now.
It's a hard title to win.
Okay.
They better win.
Two Olympics from now, France is coming for the gold medal, and that's a fact.
If you are in New York City in a couple of Saturdays from now, 4 Eastern time at Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center, come check us out.
Let's go.
Yes, indeed.
Pumped.
By the way, and I chose to take that time as opposed to the other time we're on the main the stage where they're having a symposium. I believe Alex Cooper was part of that group, and I decided to not compete.
Oh, well done. That's smart.
You know,
that's good leadership.
These two daddies could didn't need to be called at that time.
That's great leadership. Okay,
there's going to be a lot of WWE guys there, so I'm going to need you guys to get me some autographs.
By the way, apparently, Livy Dunn is on that panel as well.
Great, that's great leadership.
I decided.
What time is there? What time is their panel again?
I'll let you know.
Just let me write the
it's the one that we decided not to compete against.
Got it. So we have time to go. Watch that. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Potentially.
Okay, great.
Yes, I believe your credential will work.
Fantastic.
And you both are daddies.
And TJ Jefferson has been, he can't come within 500
TJ,
yards.
TJ, plus one, are you coming along with us?
I don't think so. I don't know anything about this.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Don't
TJ, you
dare go
boat.
Anywhere.
Woof,
oh, by the way, speaking of Noah Lyles, we'll discuss that when we come back. Let's talk about Sleep Number, people. We all know in the NFL there's no margin for error. A single mistake can change the outcome of a game. We all know that. And proven quality sleep, yeah, believe it or not, can boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall performance. You know that probably in your real life. The same thing goes in the National Football League, which is why Sleep Number is, in fact, the sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Partnering since 2018, 8 out of 10 players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference because being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out for recovery, that is game changing. So right now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, you can save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed plus special financing for a limited time only at a Sleep Number store, or you can go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. See store for details.
Hey everybody, this just in, it's summertime. It's time to go and do all those summer things, like going to a baseball game. During the summer, I'm about to do exactly that, and I know exactly what to do, and you should too. You should go look forward to making new memories this year by going to a ball game using Game Time, the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch, so you can wait to buy your tickets with killer last-minute deals. The all-in prices feature, you get to see how much everything is before you purchase. Views from your seat, you know exactly where you're getting your seat, and the view of the field from it. Their lowest price guarantee, of course, that's Game Time. Takes the guesswork completely out of buying MLB tickets. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Guess what I got while I was out at the Hall of Fame? Came home last night, found it in the mail. A SAG-AFTRA residual check.
Hit it.
Paid that man his money.
All right, haven't done this in a while. Opening it up on the air here.
All right,
Here comes. My eyes see. Oh, yeah. Good old-fashioned CSI Miami deep freeze.
Yes.
I need to let you know it's for 5 different versions of consuming this show all in one check. Secondary digital channels, internet rental / SVOD, pay TV, basic cable, and video DVD. DVDs still out there. Wow. Earning people money.
So we're going to guess the grand sum of
the
this?
Grand total,
yeah, grand total
of the check.
Total.
Do you have the music? Do you want the pricing game?
Hang on.
Go for it, Chris Brockman. What do you have? Your first up.
1836.
Closest without going over, obviously. Mike Del Tufo?
How much did Brockman say?
1836.
I say $1.
He says $1. Already beat you to that punch. So what do you got?
I'm going to say $22.50.
$22.50. Closest without going over is $1.
Oh, yeah.
The actual retail check price is $11.43.
I should have got $2.
There you go.
Not as much as a Harley, TJ.
Once again, just Harleys. A fresh reminder. If I'm receiving $11.43 off of just one episode of CSI Miami. This is for the deep freeze episode. If I'm earning this much, what
Okay, so
is Caruso
it's
making?
It's got to be insane.
I mean, he did 200 plus, right?
Oh, it's insane.
I don't even think you could do that math. I'm sure his back end is probably a little bit better than mine. Yeah, and I'm just talking about, just you know, little. Contractually. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I just, again, these Olympics, they're growing on me with each passing day.
They've been awesome.
You know, it has been fun to watch. Yeah. And NBC's doing a real kick-ass job throughout its family of networks in the Peacock method of the Gold Zone, right?
Love it.
Uh-huh.
So good.
And it's inspired us for the Bronze Zone.
Of course.
Right?
I'm ready to go.
And just, you mentioned in Overreaction Monday how so many great American athletes are winning gold and you know, and just seeing so many of these things that I would never be able to do. Obviously, gymnastics, archery.
Archery is like so much fun.
It's just great. All of these. Yeah. So let's land on something that I can find relatable, and that's Noah Lyles. So running short distances.
You guys
and
have that.
Speaking things into existence.
You have that in common with him.
Remember, Noah said that he doesn't understand why NBA players call themselves world champions, champions of the world.
Champions of what?
Like you're not competing against the world, no. Even though, you know, the world's best players are in the NBA. Right. You know, he had a little bit of a push-pull on saying, yeah, he's right. And like, what is he talking about?
That,
like,
that
it was kind of right.
Ruckus, man.
Yeah, it was a gray area, right? When he said that?
Yeah.
And then he runs the 100-meter race. And he's behind, by the way, at 40 meters.
Phew.
At the 40-meter mark, 40% of this race, he's dead last. He ran this last 60, the fastest, and had the lean because it's the torso first. It's not a foot, your torso. Yeah. And his lean was better than the Jamaicans, Kishane Thompson, right? And that's the difference. Five.
Crazy.
Thousandths of a second.
Unreal, man.
Yeah. It's a foot race, but your torso crossing is.
Yes,
right.
A foot race, and you win by 5/1000ths.
Yeah, because if you watch the video, Thompson's foot does cross the line first, but Lyles' nose and chest is ahead.
And that
of him.
Goes to experience, because this is Thompson's first Olympics, first time in that spot. Wild.
First American gold in that competition in 20 years.
Wow.
20 years.
Who was the last one? Did you have it? Was it Maurice Green?
I do not have it. What I do have is this incredible photograph by Hector Vivas of Getty Images, where he had 8 different frames.
Oh, that's a cool shot.
Of the runners. And I saw this because I had this tweeted at me a million times saying, where are you, Rich? And what that happened? Can you leave that up one more time if you don't mind, Mike?
We need your
you
team.
See,
to
but you could see lane one is empty. And so I thought to myself, well, maybe, just maybe, I didn't want to wait for Smitch to do this. I did something very dangerous, which I crowdsourced on X.
Oh.
I said, is there somebody who's some talented individual out there that can place me in there? And sure enough, at JM539581 did it.
I was wondering how you got this.
He did it with my 8th and final frame winding up way shy of the finish line.
Oh my God.
Probably safe to say that's where you probably would have been.
Way shy of the finish line.
Amazing.
And you could see at the very top, I'm in the starter stance on the blocks. He did the whole thing.
Wow.
Or she did the whole thing. I don't know it. I thought, is this a bot? But this bot crushed it.
Tremendous.
With 6 numbers.
Oh, shout out God, to them.
Look at that, right?
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I saw you sent it to us. I was like, how did he do this?
I didn't look close enough to see that you were in it.
You didn't know he was in
it? No, absolutely not.
I just love the fact, though, that whoever did this did not space it out with the rest of the runners, had me finish dead last. Like, DFL is not even appropriate to describe what I'm finishing in this race.
You were in it to start with. That's a fact.
It's a fantastic. Or what?
You were in it when it started.
Is that fantastic?
Oh, man. That's awesome. That's
I wish I could do stuff like
accurate,
that.
Accurate. I think a very. Actually, I think that's probably even giving me further distance than I would get.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah.
TJ Newman coming up. Is that great or what? I figured I'd share that with the crowd here.
Would you have been at like 60 meters? Like, where do you think you would have been?
Oh, I don't even. I wouldn't have been halfway through.
I guess there's a way to do the math. I'm sure.
I wouldn't have been halfway through. I wouldn't even have been. That's being generous of how far I
would
get.
Those would be fastest men alive in the world. That's right.
Think about it.
Think about it. By all, I watched the breakdown from one of the many people in my running career who has been kind enough to give me advice and who I wound up sorely disappointing.
Michael Johnson?
He's one of them.
Michael Johnson
is
one of them.
Otto Bolden.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you could seek out his breakdown of this race, and it is spectacular. Talk about how it's one of Lyles's poorest starts out of the blocks maybe ever.
He was dead last.
DFL at the 20, 30, and 40-meter mark, and then he ran the last 60, the fastest, and then, of course, it was him. The difference was he, you know, put his torso over the line by finishing, and Thompson had sort of like a concave finish.
Steps and
you could see Bolden pointed out that the space you could see right there. Okay, you could see the space between him and the finish line with his chest, and how
unreal
Lyles did not, and that's the difference right there.
That's amazing.
Well, it's that famous Del Tufo video where Irvin is screaming at him, get your chest on that tape.
Yeah, yeah, get
that's
that.
Why.
Get your chest on that tape.
Yeah.
Envision that. I love it. Well done. TJ Newman is back on the Rich Eisen Show in studio with Worst Case Scenario. We'll talk with her in a sec.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.